You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We're listening to the song Concertina Gallop, played by Wisconsin folk musician Bob Mathewitz in the early 1980s. The recording comes courtesy of our next guest, who's been working for years to preserve many aspects of Wisconsin's unique folk culture, including music just like this. He recently received a Lifetime Achievement Award for his work.
Jim Leary joins us now. He's Emeritus Professor of Folklore and Scandinavian Studies at UW-Madison. He's also co-director of a three-year National Endowment for the Humanities project called Local Centers, Global Sounds. That's a joint venture of the Center for the Study of Upper Midwestern Cultures and the Mills Music Library. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, I'm delighted to be on. Thanks.
Well, congratulations on this award. We mentioned the Kenneth Goldstein Award for Lifetime Academic Leadership. That's from the American Folklore Society at its 2017 convention. Can you talk about what it meant to you to get that honor?
Well, it was pretty thrilling, I think mostly because I didn't know anything about it. It was, you know, friends and colleagues, former students and people I'm working with now who put me up for it, and I got to see the letters that they wrote, which were really nice. But I think it also speaks to the fact that any award like this for leadership, you know, has to involve working with a lot of other people, and it has to also have a purpose. And part of that purpose is, of course, to, you know, educate great students that we've had at the University of Wisconsin over the years, but also to work in partnerships with community organizations around the state and the region, as well as with different partners on campus. And I think when you do that, you know, a whole bunch of you are working together, and you can actually make some things happen that are worthwhile.
You've done a lot of work preserving folk culture, obviously, in Wisconsin and around the Midwest. What do we mean by a phrase like folk culture?
Well, it's a little bit murky, but fundamentally we're looking at kind of the grassroots or vernacular kind of everyday culture that are practiced by people as parts of rural or working class communities or family groups or sometimes ethnic groups, indigenous people, new immigrants. All of them have special foods. You know, they have seasonal and life cycle kind of ceremonial sorts of or celebratory things that they engage in. They have stories that are meaningful. They have little phrases or esoteric jargon or expressions. They have songs and tunes. And, of course, all those things change over time, but they're also rooted in, you know, a longer heritage, and people adapt them continuously to kind of deal with everyday situations. So it's kind of the job of folklorists to not only document those traditions, but to also try to share them with a broader public through different kinds of public programs and developing documentary archival collections and that sort of thing.
I want to get into that music we played a few moments ago, Concertina Gallop. Tell us a little bit about that song and the musician who played it.
Well, a gallop is an old-time couple dance. It's one that isn't heard too much anymore. And this was played by a guy named Bob Mathewitz, who started playing in a family band in the 1920s. And I met him up in Ashland, Wisconsin in the late 70s and early 1980s. And I made this recording at his house in 1981. But it's played on the concertina, which originated in Saxony and in Germany, but was brought to this region in the late 19th century and really kind of took off here while it was dying out over there. And it's an example of one of these sort of long-standing regional musical forms with exponents like Bob Mathewitz that took hold here and kind of make the Upper Midwest uniquely what it is.
We're talking to Wisconsin folklorist Jim Leary, nationally recognized folklorist, about the importance of preserving music and other pieces of folk culture. And Jim, in just a moment, I want to play another recording you shared with us from Sarah Wapoos of the Menominee Nation, talking about Indian fiddling and music from the trees. Before we listen to that, though, can you give us some background on this?
Yeah, from as early as the fur trade era, there was interchange between, you know, European newcomers and indigenous people, and some of that involved native people learning the fiddle, and so there has been a kind of a long-standing tradition of so-called Indian fiddling. And the recording you're going to hear, I made at a wedding dance at the Menominee Reservation with Sarah Wapus, whose husband and several of her children were fiddlers of Menominee and Potawatomi, jigs and reels and other kinds of tunes. And this figured in a larger film that can be seen online called Medicine Fiddle, that looks at fiddling and step dancing in among Native peoples in this upper Midwest region.
Let's give a listen.
These old Indians used to say that the old-time music that you hear nowadays, it's nothing like what they used to play. They figured that they played the real music. And there was one old Indian now. He says, what you do? And this old Indian was blind. And he said, the papal tree has got music. He says, you go out in the woods. He said, I go out in the woods. And people used to see him out in the woods with his violin. And he said, there's music in the trees. And he told my husband, he said, you go stand out in the woods, he said, and listen, he said, just stand there and listen real good. He said, you'll hear that, it'll come to you. And he could play that old man. Where he learned, I don't know. My husband don't know either. He said he learned it from the trees. He said, there's music in the trees.
And as Sarah is saying there, there's music in the trees. And Jim, you have been recording music, but it's not just the music. It's the stories behind it and the people behind it.
That's right. I think you can't really understand or appreciate the music fully unless you know a little bit about the community out of which it comes, and especially the amazing artists who've carried on this traditional music, and the quality of their voices, as you heard in that excerpt from Sarah, is something that you can't capture by any other means, and especially valuable as people, once people are gone.
And this is a story of change, too, it sounds like, Jim. We're not just capturing this historic relic, the authentic culture, but as you say, interplays between different cultures and how they evolve over time.
Yeah, the notion that any culture is pure and static is just ridiculous. Things are changing all the time, or else they cease to exist. And so that's true of any, whether it's food or music or dance or stories or whatever. There's always some kind of dynamic between the old and the new.
Is there a music that you're still hunting for? Maybe a holy grail that you've been hoping to hear somebody play that you've heard about but haven't gotten that performance you wanted?
Well, I've spent many, many years working with Native people in this region, and a lot of the older, Germanic, Slavic, Nordic immigrant and ethnic groups. I've also worked with Hmong and African American and Mexican American in this region. I would really love to hear Somali musicians and singers in the region, and especially if some of their music is addressing, what's it like to be in Wisconsin and Minnesota and what they're encountering. That kind of stuff I'm intrigued by.
And what are you? You've received this Lifetime Achievement Award, but I imagine you, knowing you from talking to you so much, you're not done. What is next on your list, Jim?
Oh, well, I'm working on a couple of big projects. One is a reissue of rare Swiss yodeling recordings that were issued by a label in Monroe, Wisconsin in the early 1920s, and probably next year we'll have a 2-CD set, a little book out of that, the Helvetia label. And then you mentioned this NEH grant, Local Centers Global Sounds. We're working, the Mills Music Library and the Center for the Study of Upper Midwestern Cultures, to put all kinds of field collections, as well as old 78 RPM recordings of regional and ethnic music up online. And the first of those is up. If people want to search for Local Centers Global Sounds, they'll find this. And we're able to put up sound files, tape indexes, field notes, and lots of photographs as well. And I'm also working with some people on a three-year project called Sustaining Scandinavian Folk Arts in the Upper Midwest that ties in a little bit with what Terry Van Orman was talking about earlier. Tomorrow night, a team of us are going to be in Argyle, Wisconsin, for a presentation on Ulebocking, this kind of disguised masked house visiting that Norwegians have done. And this area around Argyle has been a kind of a hotbed of that, and we're asking people to share their memories and maybe bring some photographs.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Jim Leary, Emeritus Professor of Folklore and Scandinavian Studies at UW-Madison.